All right, Craig, thank you. 5:06 on Hometown Radio on this Monday, April 29th, 2019. I'm Dave Congleton. Thanks for tuning in. Always good to be with you. I had the pleasure of coming in to work this afternoon and doing an interview with Brian Lamb, who is the founder of C-SPAN. This is their 40th anniversary. Brian and Susan Swain at C-SPAN are also the co-authors of a brand new book called The Presidents. Noted historians rank America's best and worst chief executives. I sat down last night and I made a list because I was just kind of curious. I figured out I could remember 52. I've interviewed 52 so-called celebrities over the course of this show. Everybody from Billy Joel to Arianna Huffington to Leslie Nielsen. I'll say up front, a few of those mean as much to me as a chance to talk to Brian Lamb. I'm just a huge fan of C-SPAN. I think it's one of the few consistently good things on television. And this whole idea came from this one guy. So we're going to play the interview for you in a couple different segments. And I'll make commentary as we go. We talked mostly about the book, a lot about the presidents, and a little bit about Brian. So here's part one of my conversation with Brian Lamb, the founder of C-SPAN. Brian Lamb, good afternoon, and welcome to Hometown Radio. We appreciate you joining us today.
My pleasure, Dave. Thanks for being interested.
Before we discuss the book, obviously we want to acknowledge the 40 years of C-SPAN. Can you believe it's been 40 years, Brian?
Absolutely not. No, it just all goes so fast.
I heard that you were in a previous interview that you didn't begin to appreciate U.S. history until you were in your mid-40s. If that's
correct,
the case, why did it take you so long, and what was the spark that finally got you interested in history?
I don't know what took so long. I think when I was in college, university, I was intimidated by the history classes I was in. And I think it just was, I didn't have the best training to be interested in history. And then as time went on, I got busy with other things and came to Washington in the Navy and did a bunch of other jobs here. And eventually when I got to C-SPAN, it kind of opened up one time when somebody suggested that I read a book called Miracle at Philadelphia by Catherine Drinker Bowen.
Yes.
And I think that's what did it more than anything. I just from that day forward, I just got terribly interested in history.
Do you remember, though, what it was about that book, Brian, that drew you in when others may not have?
Yes. For the first time, I started to understand how the Constitutional Convention got to what we now call our Constitution. Because it was written in a very easy-to-understand narrative instead of a lot of dates and all that stuff, describing how the people that attended the Constitutional Convention put it all together. And then I got on a train and went up to Philadelphia, which is only 2 hours north of where we are, and went through Independence Hall and a couple of other places in Philadelphia. And that was the bite.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, our guest is Brian Lamb, founder of C-SPAN and co-author of the new book, The Presidents. Noted historians rank America's best and worst chief executives. You can get this book however you get books. It's doing quite well. As we continue our conversation, Brian, I note in the notes, Arthur Schlesinger was the first historian to rank presidents back in 1948. What's the importance of ranking? What do we gain from doing this?
You know, this sounds strange because we put this book out, which you can look at this book three different ways. You can look at it as chapters about presidents because we have one on each of the 43 men that have been presidents. Donald Trump isn't rated because he's still in the office. You can look at it like it's all about historians because all these chapters are from interviews that I did with historians over the last 30 years. Or you can look at it as this rating system. And the least of those is important to me, the rating. The rating is something that we started back in 2000. And we did it after we did a series on the presidents around the country, went to each of their homes or their libraries and did a three-hour show.
Yeah, I remember.
And we decided that it would be interesting to do a survey and base it on 10 different things instead of just whether or not they're popular or not. And that's how this all started, and that's the way this book is laid out based on how they finished in our last survey, which was in 2017.
You do a survey each time a president leaves office now. You did after
Clinton.
That's
what we have been doing. We did one in 2000, one in 2009, and then another one in 2017.
And I would encourage people to go to the website, cspan.org/the presidents. You can see the survey there. You can see the various rankings and find out more about the book. It's a really a great website and well put together. So, and for people who haven't seen the website yet, top 10 I jotted down, Lincoln, Washington, Franklin Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, Eisenhower, Truman, Jefferson, Kennedy, Reagan at number 9, LBJ at number 10. I guess the one that surprises me, Brian, is that Eisenhower has risen so much in recent years. He's all the way up to number 5 now.
Yeah, I think the reason, and I had nothing to do with voting on this survey, and I just am an observer, but I think Dwight Eisenhower represents 8 years of stability. He also was an incredibly successful World War II general. And it all kind of adds up that people have more confidence in him as the years go on, as having done as good a job as almost anybody in that position. And that's what's happened over the years. He just keeps moving up a little bit.
Hmm. How did you do the ranking, and who did the ranking?
The ranking was done by asking about 100 either history professors or journalists that write a lot about presidents to do, you know, we gave each president got 1,000 points until they were taken away based on how many points they got in each category. There were 10 different categories, and those categories were established by a group of three people, actually four. And three of them are in this book, Doug Brinkley, Edna Green Medford from Howard University, and Richard Norton Smith, and also a fellow that worked with us for years, John Splane. And Susan Swain has been our co-chief executive officer at this point, has been really the guider on all this. But there's a lot of different ways to judge them. Public persuasion, I won't go through all 10. Right. You can get that on the website or buy the book. Moral authority is one of them. And then performance, which this is a tough one, performance within the context of the times. We're going through a rough patch on that one because people today are judging all of these people, it seems like, based on what they would be like if they were here today. And it's making a rough go for some of the people back in the early days.
Is bias a factor? As you all know, journalists get the rub, you have a liberal bias, and college professors are accused of having a liberal bias. How about historians, Brian? Is bias a factor?
Bias is always a factor, and that's one of the reasons that we did this survey, because most college professors are left of center, and we wanted to pick people that were center-right to balance this out. And you can see the names of the ones that contributed to this on our website. And it includes people that certainly in the beginning when Arthur Schlesinger, who this is the father of Arthur Schlesinger, who was involved in the Kennedy administration, when he started it all and his son took up from there, the balance wasn't as good as what we did. And actually, the odd thing about it is I'm not sure in the end it makes a whole lot of difference if they're being true to these categories.
Meaning
that if they judge these men over the years on the basis of those 10 categories, and if they stay true to history, they're going to the bias shouldn't be overwhelming over a long period of time. And these surveys turn out pretty close every time. U.S. Grant's the one that's gained the most. Eisenhower's gained 4 or 5 slots, and Woodrow Wilson's lost, Andrew Jackson's lost, and that may be part of the way people feel about them today based on the way people today feel about the different issues they were involved in, because Woodrow Wilson was a was basically a racist. And, that just doesn't track very well today.
Yeah. The book is The Presidents. Noted historians rank America's best and worst chief executives. Co-author and founder of C-SPAN, Brian Lamb, is visiting hometown radio is what that meant to say. We recorded the interview this afternoon. Brian was quite generous with his time and comments. We'll pick up the conversation. More of our interview with Brian Lamb, talking about the American presidents. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio for the Central Coast. It is the Dave Congleton Show. Let's continue with a part two of my conversation this afternoon with Brian Lamb, the founder of C-SPAN. Co-author and founder of C-SPAN, Brian Lamb, is visiting Hometown Radio. Which kind of leads to my next question, Brian, and that's the idea that I think we could agree pretty consistently. Yes, Abraham Lincoln, good. James Buchanan, a disappointment. But what about those guys in the middle? Are there presidents of where there is vast debate among historians, like a Ulysses S. Grant, whether they were a success or a failure?
There aren't many that are in that category. when a president leaves office, it's a rough patch there. I don't mean there's anything wrong with them. For years, you're not really sure how they're going to come out over time. Barack Obama finished high at 12, and who knows what that'll look like in another 20 years. But there hasn't been much change, certainly during our surveys. People like William Howard Taft have been 24 for all three of our surveys. Joe Ford only moved a couple of spots. You can just go down the list. George W. Bush went from 36 to 33, but that doesn't mean much. There's a vast middle group here that aren't bad. There's nothing wrong with them. They just, not everybody can be on top.
Yeah. The one that comes to mind for me, not so much in your surveys, but over time, is Harry Truman. From what I've read, when he was actually in office, Truman was quite unpopular. Of course, he barely won re-election, and now he's like number six on the list. He's really come up over time. We've rethought Harry Truman, haven't we?
We have, and I have a sneaking suspicion that the historians have had a tremendous impact on that, including David McCullough, who wrote the book Truman, which was an incredible, successful book. And he painted Harry Truman to be very down-to-earth, which he was, straightforward, able to make decisions. And as time has gone by, he just got more and more solid as one of the more successful presidents. And I must say, I've read a lot of Truman since David McCullough came out, and it is really interesting to read his writings, his interviews, because no one has spoken plainer than Harry Truman. And I know my own father couldn't stand him, but by the time Dad died back in the 90s, by the time Dad died, he thought Truman was great, which is, it's a very interesting thing to watch.
The other thing about the book, The Presidents, is that there are certain themes that arise from the study of the White House and the U.S. presidency, aren't there? I mean, I jotted down a couple that I've heard you talk about before. One is the idea of the impact of war and being a war president.
Makes a big difference. On a lot of the top presidents were successful in war. And if you were unsuccessful in war, that's a good reason why you're not very high in the survey. Another one, as you know, is slavery and the way we've treated minorities in the country. That's a thread that runs all the way through all these presidents.
And health. The idea of, like, you mentioned Woodrow Wilson before. What was it, like almost the last 2 years of his term in office, his wife was pretty much running things?
You didn't even see the man. He was in the second floor bedroom the whole time, and very few people could see him. He didn't have very many visitors, and when he did, it was very well managed. James Polk, who was a one-term president and fairly successful, he finished in the survey in 14th. He walked out of the White House, and 3 days later, at age 53, was dead. There's a lot of health problems along the way. My favorite story, not because it happened to the man, but because of the way they dealt with it, was Grover Cleveland, who popped up with a cancer of the mouth in the middle of his presidency, and they were afraid politically to admit it, which so often was the case back in those days. And so they had an operation on the tumor in his mouth off the coast of Manhattan on a yacht. And they put a rubber prosthetic in his mouth so that, because it was a fairly large tumor. And my recollection is they had to go back in and do it twice. But the public didn't know about this tumor until he was gone, dead. And it was in 1917 that it was revealed that this had happened.
So we talk about these things, war and the impact of war, health. I guess the last one I recall you talking about is money, emphasis on spending, surplus. Bill Clinton had a surplus. I think Calvin Coolidge had a surplus. George W. Bush put us back in the red. And that's a theme that runs through the presidency, right, Brian?
Well, yes, and if you go back and study it, which I have done in connection with these interviews and these fabulous authors, you go back and look at the panics, you know, the panic of 1873, the panic of 1893, certainly the panic of 1929, and all of those happened in the middle of presidencies that usually didn't do very well because of it. And if they had it near the end of their term, they might have gotten away with it, but it's the next president that gets bitten with it. So studying the economy of each presidency is also helpful in understanding where they end up in the popularity.
And that's one of the things I want to stress with this book, The Presidents, that Brian and his co-authors, yes, you have the rankings, but you also have the individual biographies of each of the president. There's a chapter on each of the president written by one of these historians. So, yes, you can see the rankings, and that's interesting, but you can also learn more about each of the presidents and be reminded of their strengths and weaknesses.
I like to call this, as an amateur historian, I'm very amateur at this, I like to call this a primer, that yeah. This is a good way to dip into all this and decide what interests you the most. In my own case, after I got interested in history, I decided, and actually it was, I was a follower when Richard Norton Smith told me when he was a kid that he did this, I started going to all the grave sites of the presidents, and I finished it in about 18 months. And then I decided to go to all the grave sites of the vice presidents. And it helps you learn geography. It helps you learn, the background on these individuals as you're on your way to a grave site. And I've got some, you know, fun stories about doing that. Did it mostly by myself. When I was traveling around, I just detour and catch a grave site or two and then just keep going until I had them all.
Brian Lamb sharing some of the stories behind his amazing career with C-SPAN as part of the promotion for the new book he's done with Susan Swain called The Presidents. Noted historians rank America's best and worst chief executives. And when I heard Brian tell that story, I was thinking back to presidential graves I've visited. I could come up with three. I've seen John F. Kennedy's grave at Arlington in Washington, D.C. I grew up in Illinois, so of course there's Abraham Lincoln. And then, I don't know, what, 10, 12 years ago, we took the bus ride down to the Reagan Library, and Reagan was buried there. So I've seen three, and I've only been to one presidential library. We are going to go to California Headline News and ABC Radio News. Craig has the very latest in Time Saver traffic and weather together. And then I will play the third installment of today's conversation with Brian Lamb, the founder of C-SPAN. And we will clarify the mystery once and for all. Is he or is he not stepping down from C-SPAN, as was reported 2 weeks ago by the Wall Street Journal? I'll give you a clue. It had something to do with the person who wrote the headline. I'm Dave Congleton. We're live. We're local. This is Hometown Radio. Help us stick around. Michael Woody will be with us during the 6 o'clock hour. Matt Hoy is going to join us tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Let's hear from him about what's happening with the National Rifle Association. Are they imploding, or is this just some kind of internal fight that will blow over? And I'm warning you, Thursday at 6 o'clock, Michelle Doster is back with us. It is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. I came in early today, and we recorded an interview with Brian Lamb, founder of C-SPAN. This is their 40th anniversary. I've been a big fan of C-SPAN for most of that time. I just think it's one of the rare, consistently quality programs that you can find on TV. They're up to like 3 different channels now. And he has a brand new book out with Susan Swain called The Presidents, Noted Historians Rank America's Best and Worst Chief Executives. So here is part 3 of our conversation with Brian Lamb of C-SPAN today. You've interviewed, I think, all the presidents from Nixon on. I'm not going to ask you your favorite president, but I'm curious of 2 things. One, are there traits that you've discovered of the presidents that you've interviewed, Brian, that they seem to have in common? Anything about them that stand out as a pattern?
I actually think they're very different. George W. Bush was, I think, by far the friendliest. The man who came in a room and made contact with you immediately, looked you in the eye, good handshake, all those little things that add up. And Ronald Reagan was probably the most distant. When you were in his presence, you really didn't penetrate the facade. He was friendly.
Yeah.
There wasn't much small talk, and that was hard. Bill Clinton, I don't know how to describe. When he was interested, he'd pay attention. When he wasn't, he didn't. I mean, and that's. I'm kind of avoiding saying some strong things about the situation. I had a number of probably 6 or 7 interviews and was around him, and sometimes he was paying attention to what was going on, and other times he had his mind on something else, and you knew it. I mean, yeah. But as an interviewee, Bill Clinton had no problem stopping in the conversation and thinking it through for, 10 seconds or something like that instead of rushing to an answer. They were all different. And I remember the differences more than I
Brian, I'm hoping you're still with us.
I'm still here.
Okay, good. We lost you there for a few seconds. Brian Lamb on this broadcast. Then the second part of that question, is there any of these modern presidents you've interviewed who particularly impressed you with their style?
No. Okay. They didn't. They weren't unimpressive. It's just, right. I don't, one of the things that my own experience is that I don't have favorites. I have memories.
Sure.
And my memories aren't any more important than anybody else's, because if you've ever met a president, you always remember almost everything about it. I can remember one time in the Oval Office, and I'm not telling this story to brag about being in the Oval Office, but I was in the Oval Office one time standing next to President Bush. And this sounds like a very unimportant thing, but I looked over to him and I said, and nobody was paying attention to the two of us for the moment. There were a bunch of people in the office. I said, I just want to thank you for what you've done for blue ties. And he just looked over and smiled because he started, this is hard to remember, he started wearing blue ties and all of a sudden they took off like crazy. And a lot of men got away from only wearing red ties.
Was that 41 or 43, Brian?
43.
All right. A couple last questions, please. You have said in preparing the book, you've learned a lot about individual presidents. And the story that you told that I love is about President Taft. And I had forgotten this. He appointed 6 Supreme Court justices in 1 term of office. That's amazing.
And Jimmy Carter got none.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's really fascinating. If you're interested in this stuff, if you're not, none of this matters. But if you're interested in this, there's so much to learn about their health, about their ability to appoint justices of the Supreme Court, about how long their terms were, about those that lost, that they got sick and died in office, about those that were sadly shot and killed, those who were shot and weren't killed. And there's a number of that. It's all just interesting because it has so much to do with how this country has developed.
Right. And we should also point out that you don't rank President Trump, but your three primary historians have a discussion about him in the book.
Correct. And we wanted to stay as far away from ranking him as possible because we just don't do it till they're out of office. And there's a strong feeling about this man on both sides, both ways, and it's going to take time to figure out where he belongs. But those who think, he's the worst president in history, let's talk to those who are on that side. If you really apply if you were to apply all the different categories here, he would not be the worst president in history by any means, because you have to take into account where the economy is right now.
Right. Do you appreciate the impact that C-SPAN has had on the presidency? By that, I mean the role that you and your colleagues have played in opening up the White House and the presidency to average people like me and my listeners. I've never been in the White House. I'm never going to get in the White House, Brian, but I've been there because of you.
This is going to sound probably shallow, but the answer to your question is no. I have no idea. And I tell you why, Dave. I come from Indiana. I was in the service. I started here 53 years ago in this town. And everything about my experience and C-SPAN experience it's evolved.
Right.
You know, we started out with 3 million homes that could watch what we do, and then we went up to 100 million. And unfortunately, it's being cut back now because people, in some cases, are dropping the cable. But the point I want to make is that you couldn't feel the change as you went through that time period. You had people from the beginning who really were interested in politics, and you have an enormous number of people that could care less.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't feel it. I know that my knowledge has increased a great deal, and I also know that no matter how hard I've tried to learn it all, I'm not even close to learning it all, and it's still fun because every day you learn something.
Yeah, we cut that off. It's supposed to say every day you learn something new. We're listening to a conversation we did with Brian Lamb. He is the founder of C-SPAN, Public Affairs Channel. This is their 40th anniversary. There's this one short segment left as we're wrapping things up. So I want to go ahead and play you. Yeah, it's just a couple minutes long. This is how we ended the conversation this afternoon with Brian Lamb of C-SPAN. Two last points. One, you mentioned Indiana. We lost Richard Lugar over the weekend, a great senator from Indiana. I know that you knew him. You've interviewed him. Any thoughts that you'd share with us about Richard Lugar?
Well, the fascinating thing, and a couple of days before that, we lost Birch Bayh,
yeah,
who I knew, not well, but I knew him years and years ago. I knew him better than I did in his late years. And the two of them were from Indiana, and they both were successful. And Birch Bayh was responsible for Title IX, which got a lot of women into sports. He was also responsible for the 25th Amendment. Richard Lugar made his mark on foreign policy. They both were, successful in the state of Indiana and bright people. And it was fun to know them. I mean, Richard Lugar was a Rhodes Scholar before he came to the Senate. He was mayor of Indianapolis. He started out. And then Birch Bayh was in the state legislature, and his son then became governor. And so they were very different people. Birch Bayh was a hail fellow, well met, slap you on the back, very friendly. And Richard Lugar was much more cautious and quiet, and a little more difficult to talk to. I remember we covered him when he ran for president in New Hampshire, like we do all of them. And a couple had driven, this is an insignificant story, but a couple had driven all the way out from Indiana to work for him in New Hampshire. And we had video on him while he was having breakfast with him, and it was a very somewhat uncomfortable because he just didn't have a lot of small talk.
Huh. Finally, Brian Lamb, there seems to be a little bit of confusion. You're signing off from your popular interview show in May, but you're still staying with C-SPAN, correct?
Yeah, and Dave, you're the only one that seems to know that. It's been a strange experience. The way it started was the Wall Street Journal came in for a 40th anniversary interview, and Kyle Peterson, who wrote the piece, did a very accurate piece.
Yeah.
But the headline writer said that I was signing off.
Yeah.
And that sent a signal. I mean, this is not a big deal, but it sent a signal that I was retiring altogether. So I keep going around saying to people, I'm leaving my Sunday night show that I did for 30 years, but I'm still at the network trying to stay out of people's way. And I'm older. I mean, I'm 77. So at some point, I'm going to have to walk out the door. But I still have a responsibility there, and it's not over yet.
And appropriately, your final interview is going to be with the great historian David McCullough, one of my favorite guests. When's that set for, Brian?
I interview him the week after, let's see, next week is David Marinus, and the week after that is David McCullough. It runs on the 19th of May, which is a Sunday night, 5 o'clock California time, repeated at 8 o'clock.
I strongly encourage anyone who loves American history and wants to know more about the American presidents, this would make a great gift for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or the graduating student. It's called The Presidents, Noted Historians Rank America's Best and Worst Chief Executives by Brian Lamb and Susan Swain. You can also check out the website at c-span.org/thepresidents to find out more information. Mr. Lamb, it's been a pleasure. As we close, I started this radio show in 1992. At the time, I was told that San Luis Obispo was the only market in the entire country that did not carry C-SPAN. So may I publicly apologize to you for being the last to come on board?
Well, as long as you're there now, that's all that matters. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Brian Lamb. Thank you so much. And that is our interview with Brian Lamb, the founder of C-SPAN. Quite a guy. I'll come back and throw in some other thoughts about the book. You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Top of the hour is ABC Radio News. Then we spend the 6 o'clock hour with Michael Woody. Just very pleased to offer that interview with Brian Lamb. Here's what happened. He referenced that Wall Street Journal article. And I don't know, it came out about 2 weeks ago. And you read the article, and from the headline and from the opening paragraph, it seems like Brian Lamb is resigning. Key word on resigning. So I posted it on Facebook because I'm on Facebook, and I post, and I posted the article. I was like, geez, this is really sad. You know, this guy really means a lot to me. Well, one of my former students from my previous life now is on the staff at the University of San Diego. And one of the graduates at the University of San Diego is in the inner circle of C-SPAN. And so I guess my guy, Charles, shared my post with the inner circle at C-SPAN. And I'm like, oh, no, he's not resigning. He's just not going to do his Sunday night show after May 19th. That's all he's giving up. And I sent Charles the article. I was like, no, this says he's resigning. So this started back and forth between me and the folks at C-SPAN. And never one to, you know, let an open door shut. I just jumped in and said, you know, whether he's leaving or not, I'd be honored to interview the guy. Any chance of throwing a ball at a small market guy? So then it's okay, well, he can talk to you on Monday. And I always prefer a live interview, you know that. But right now, what is it? It's like 8 o'clock out in Washington, D.C., and he's going home. He's 77 years old. So I said, okay, You can talk to him, but you're going to have to pre-record. You have to come in early. Fine. So we were here at 1 o'clock. Brian Lamb called exactly at 1 o'clock. First thing out of his mouth is how much he loves San Luis Obispo. He's been here a couple times. He's always had a good experience here. He was happy to answer any question. He was chatty. And at the end, we spoke for a couple minutes, and he said he wants to come back out here. He'd love to come in and do the show. Just, the guy could not have been nicer. As I said at the beginning, I figured out I've done about 52 of these interviews in 27 years. I don't get a lot of celebrity interviews. I don't go hunting for them, but I don't turn them down either. And mostly, they're by phone, and it's like a just like a business deal. You get 20 minutes of a celebrity, and in return, you get to promote the fact that the celebrity's on your show. But then at the end of the conversation, it's goodbye, and within 5 minutes, I guarantee you that the person you're interviewing has no idea who you are. So it was nice to be able to make a personal connection with Brian. The only other time I've really done that was with Hal Holbrook. Hal Holbrook came to Cal Poly back in about 2010. And I had done my research on him. And I found out that he started his love of Mark Twain with his master's thesis. Well, actually, it was his senior thesis at Denison University in Ohio. And so this had been a lifelong obsession with him as Mark Twain. And one of the things that's always intrigued me about Mark Twain is the fact that here's a guy who lost his wife and his daughter back to back. And how did he survive that? What I had forgotten about Hal Holbrook was that his own wife had just died, I don't know, a year or two prior. I still have this podcast. I should bring it in sometime. Because I didn't think this through. Because when I asked Hal Holbrook the question, instead of answering about Mark Twain, he started talking about his own loss and what it meant to him to lose his wife. There's a really rare connection. So at the end of the interview, he talked to Cal Poly, said, I want to meet this guy. So we went to Cal Poly. We saw Hal Holbrook doing Mark Twain Tonight. He was incredible. I got to go backstage, and he was just so effusive about the interview. And I'm just, every now and then you make that connection with an interview subject. It's happened to me twice. Once with Hal Holbrook, and I felt that today with Brian Lamb. And so I was just glad to be able to do that interview. Those of us with the background in television, and I approach it from an academic point of view, the impact of C-SPAN cannot be overstated. He's had a pretty interesting life. Anyway, his website for this is cspan.org, but remember that it's c-span.org/thepresidents. And on this website, they've got all the rankings, and somebody has put a lot of effort into this. As I was sharing with you earlier, they did this first in 2000 at the end of the Clinton term. They did it again in 2009 at the end of the George W. Bush term. And they did it in 2017 after Obama left office. Their top 12 are Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, FDR, Teddy Roosevelt, Dwight Eisenhower, Harry Truman, Thomas Jefferson, John F. Kennedy, Ronald Reagan is 9, Lyndon Johnson is 10. A surprise to me, given what Brian Lamb just said about Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson is coming in at 11. 20 years ago, he was number 6, so he's slipping. I also find it interesting that Barack Obama comes in at number 12, in his first outing. George W. Bush is the only modern president to score in the bottom 10. George Bush is coming in at number 33. He's behind Richard Nixon. George W. Bush is behind Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter is number 26. Richard Nixon is number 28. And if you go on the website, you can go to the different categories that Brian was talking about: public persuasion, crisis leadership, international relations. And each of the presidents is ranked by each of these categories. So under international relations, Franklin Roosevelt is ranked number one. George H.W. Bush, who's way down in the middle overall, shoots up to number eight, and he's ahead of Ronald Reagan. Richard Nixon, who was down towards the bottom on international relations, he's number 10. I also found it fascinating. If I had had more time with Brian, I wanted to talk to him about his visits to presidential cemeteries and presidential libraries and the idea of vice presidential cemeteries. I think I can name all the vice presidents from 1950 on, but I would be hard-pressed to name vice presidents from the early part. But studying and watching C-SPAN reignited my interest in the presidents in the White House. And you know what else did it for me this month? And I'm totally serious about this. Seeing the musical Hamilton. I saw that the first weekend in San Francisco. And it's about Alexander Hamilton and George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. I bought the soundtrack. I've been listening to it over and over again. I think that's probably the only piece of music I've been listening to. I have been going online to read articles about Alexander Hamilton. I've been watching videos about Hamilton and George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. Yeah, I'm like you. You know, you're in high school or college, you study the founding fathers, and okay, sure. And then you move on. But their history is so fascinating. And how those decisions back in the 1770s and the 1780s and the 1790s shaped us today. And that's one of the arguments that Brian Lamb makes in his promotion of the book, is that why is the president of the United States so important? For a couple of reasons. One, it is the president who makes decisions that affects all of us. We are all affected by presidential decisions, and also the president is probably the one person in the country that we have the most contact with day in and day out. Anyway, I enjoyed the conversation with Brian. I hope you did too. If you missed it, you can hear the podcast at 920kvc.com. That will be up shortly. Off we go to ABC Radio News. We'll find out what's happening in the world. Craig has the very latest in time saver traffic and weather together. Then let's see what's going on with Michael Woody. I believe he has some news. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio for the Central Coast. It is the Dave Congleton Show. Good to be with you this afternoon.